Pastor Greg will be preaching to us from Psalm 73. If you'd like to turn there with me, I'll read Psalm 73 for us. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness, and their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, and that I may tell of all your works.
How about some of these headlines? Where it seems like every day, and this could be from any day, but where the wicked seem to get away with stuff, and the innocent suffer. And as Christians, we wonder, well, how should we respond? We could see this or hear this most any day. What should I think? How should I feel? Sometimes it's a national issue, things going on in our whole country. Sometimes it's a little more local, right? Hey, what is happening in the Twin Cities? Sometimes it's just even more personal in your own life or with your family. Well, here's what we struggle with. If God is so good, why is life so unfair? That's what today's psalm is going to wrestle with. It's written by a guy named Asaph. Now, who was Asaph? Asaph was one of three of the chief musicians in the temple under King David. He was a worship leader. He was a godly man, mature man. Wrote 12 psalms in our psalm book. But he said he almost just sort of packed it in. Said, I can't figure this out. This really bothers me. Well, here's what he starts with. that God is good. The opening verse. He knows that in his heart, right? And you and I have been taught this, that God is good. He loves us. He cares for us. He's called us. He'll take care of us. He'll watch over us. We know that in our head. We even sang that this morning, right? We just sang the goodness of God. But if that's true, God really is good, then why do things in the world go on like they do? Why do the wicked seem to prosper? Why do the innocent suffer? And we're going to see in this psalm that it's very passionate and very personal. This is not a sort of a philosophical debate about the problem of evil. He's going to reflect on this. And it's going to be helpful. He's going to look at it from two different perspectives. The human perspective and the heavenly perspective. And we're going to see that perspective is really key there. It makes all the difference in the world. So let's start with the human perspective. Again, here's the challenge. I know in my head that God is good. But then what do I see with my eyes? What do I see out there? Well, what do we see? Or what does he see? He sees the same things we see these days. He says, the prosperity of the wicked. I don't get it. My feet, my steps, it almost slipped. I almost stumbled. I almost said, forget it. The worship leader who almost lost his song. And he says, I was envious. I saw their prosperity, even their financial prosperity. We see that sometimes, right? Where utterly degenerate people, and I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but you know, maybe some rock musicians or movie stars or even criminals who sell their story and make a fortune on it. So that, I don't get it. And he talks about the peace of the wicked. Seems like they're free from the burdens that the rest of us have to wrestle with. You know, they have the perfect marriage, they're healthy, they're financially set. Like Pastor Charles Spurgeon of years ago, here's what he said. He commented, those who deserve the hottest hell often have the warmest nest. Doesn't seem fair. Now, it may appear that they have no struggles, and he'll get to that, but everybody has struggles. But he says, you know, they just kind of go peacefully on. And they also have pride. Often those who are prosperous and most peaceful can be that way. They can be proud and arrogant. Look, pride and violence, they wear them like a necklace, like a garment. Verse 8, they make fun of Christians. Verse 11, they even scoff at God. They say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? God's not paying attention. He doesn't care. And they scoff at him. Let me give you a couple quotes. Ernest Hemingway, the author, he said this, all thinking men are atheists. Right? If you really are using your brain, there is no God. Here's what scientist Stephen Hawking said. I believe the simplest explanation is there is no God. No one created the universe, and no one directs our life. This leads me to a profound realization that there probably is no heaven and no afterlife either. No, we have this one life to appreciate the grand design of the universe, and for that I am extremely grateful. There is no God. And it seems like, from a human perspective, that's what the wicked are like. Right? They're guilty of pride, of violence, of oppression, and it doesn't seem to matter. They prosper, They sleep well at night. They have power and wealth and prosperity. They do as they please, and then they just die in peace. And not only do the wicked prosper, but now he's going to say, it seems like the righteous are punished. He says, what's the point? Living this life of faith, it's in vain. The Christian life isn't worth it. I've been trying to do the right thing, the godly thing. And he says, my afflictions, they last all day. And then when I get up the next morning, there's just more. And that's true, at least from a human perspective. It does seem like the righteous, the innocent, just suffer for no reason. You can walk into any church, into our church, and you see people that struggle with cancer or other illnesses. They've lost a job. They need a job. They're struggling with marriage or family difficulties. And we say, God, why is this happening? Now, let me caution you here. We can be rather vulnerable at these times, can't we? Where Satan will whisper to you, you know what? This Christian life doesn't work. At least for you. Maybe for other Christians, but something's wrong with you. God's not going to answer your prayers. God's not going to help you. Honesty is not the best policy. Just do what you want. Look at the wicked. It's not worth living the Christian life. Beware of that. Don't fall for that, is what I'm telling you. He says, when I was struggling with this and thinking through it, there was at least two results. Verse 15, he says, I had hazardous lips. I could have spoken this, kind of aired out all my doubts and feelings, but that would have impacted other people. It says he would have betrayed the generation of your children. The people that he was leading in worship, that would have influenced them, right? I think that's a good caution, not just for worship leaders, but for parents, for those who are on social media. Before you blurt out some of this stuff, think about how it's going to affect other people. So he said, I at least refrained. I had a little self-control from that. And as I thought about it, verse 16, it was a wearisome task. It was a burden. It's a big burden to carry about the goodness of God. Maybe God really isn't good. Maybe life isn't worth living. The Christian life isn't worth living. That's a heavy burden. So that's the human perspective. He looks at the wicked. He looks at the righteous. And if God is so good, why is it like that? So the problem is either with what we believe, maybe God isn't good. Maybe we should change that. Or the problem is what I see, my perspective. Well, now in the middle of the psalm is a turning point. He says that this is how I was thinking until I went into the sanctuary of God. The presence of God. Certainly that can happen here at our church. But, you know, every time you talk to the Lord in prayer, every time you open your Bible, say, God, I need to meet with you. I need some truth. I need some perspective on what's going on. That's what helped him. Sometimes when we doubt or struggle, we tend to run not to the sanctuary of God, not to God, but the other way. Well, this is just a reminder and encouragement that even when we have doubts, you know, don't stay away from church. Don't stop praying. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't say, well, I'm not going to fellowship with other Christians. No. That's going to help you. Well, let's look. Let's look at the heavenly perspective. Because Asaph says, you know, once I went into the worship service and once it was over and my feet were firmly planted on the truth, I learned some things. Let me tell you about what I learned. See, the human perspective is sort of a snapshot. That at any given little snapshot, things can look good or bad. The heavenly perspective is more the video. It's going to show the whole picture, the broader view, right? He's going to say, well, when I did that, what did I see? He saw the wicked again, but this time he saw their ruin. The people, the same people that he said, oh, they just get away with everything. He's now changed his perspective on that. He discerned their end. He had forgotten that here on earth is not the end of the story. And look at slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. They are destroyed, swept away by terrors. I think it's a clear reference to final and eternal judgment. Oh, that's right. The story is not over yet. And many roads can lead to hell for the wicked. Sometimes they experience hell on earth and end up in hell. Sometimes, like he was reflecting on, it seems like they were just enjoying life. It was so great. But that also ends in hell for the wicked. So it doesn't matter how you get there. It's the final destination that counts. Jesus put it this way. What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Here's what atheistic French philosopher Voltaire declared. He said this, Christianity will be non-existent 100 years after my death. He lived a couple centuries ago. But exactly 100 years after his death, the European Bible Society bought his house and turned it into the continent's largest printing press for Bibles. Sounds like his house got saved, but it was too late for him. When he entered in the presence of God, he saw things differently. He saw the ruin of the wicked. He also saw himself differently. He said, oh Lord, I need to repent. And he sort of confesses his short-sightedness. He says, you know, I was like a beast or sort of an animal that really can't consider or look into the future. I needed the bigger picture. Now, this sort of self-perception and analysis can be challenging, can it? To repent means to change. Change your attitude, change your mind, and then, of course, to change your actions because of that. That can be hard, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I see stuff or hear stuff on the news, and I can get worked up. Think, man, what's going on? And I can jump to conclusions. God, you're not fair. God, you don't care. Maybe you do care, but you're not strong enough to do anything. Evil is just too powerful. But Asaph says, no, when I really met with the Lord, I changed my mind about that. He also said, you know, living this life of faith, it really is worth it. Look at all those things that God rewards the righteous for. Acceptance, companionship, comfort, guidance, strength. That means you and I, we can have peace through these difficult times. Because God's right there with His strong right hand. We have the riches of divine protection. As another psalm says, I can even walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil because God is with me. He's going to protect me. He's going to walk with me side by side. Verse 24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Well, there, earlier the wicked go one place, well, the righteous go to another place. Bible calls that place heaven for believers, right? Our story's not done. It's not just an earthly life or perspective. One more. The last two verses, the last verse here in the psalm. He says, well, I've gone from sort of complaining to communicating to communing with God, and now to some conviction and commitment. Two quick commitments there. He says, I'm going to draw near to God. Book of James says, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Don't run away from God, but go draw closer to God. So that He's going to be your refuge. What's a refuge? A place of safety and security where you go, oh, this is just where I need to be. And even in these COVID days where things are sort of, well, not sort of, they are, they're uncertain and unknown. And boy, I'm not sure what to think. You go to God as your refuge. And then he finishes, well, I'm going to not only worship God, I'm going to witness. I'm going to tell of all your works. There's people in my life, just like yours, in your family or your neighbors or people you work with or go to school with, that don't know Jesus. And maybe they're trying to figure this all out too. Well, you know what? I can tell them. There is a God. He's a good God. A God worth our trust. So if God is good, why is life so unfair? Well, let me close with a little story that's entitled, A Bad Day from Our Perspective and God's Perspective. I like what this guy wrote. Ever have a bad day when nothing went right? I know I have. You probably have too. I woke up late. And in rush to get to work, I didn't have time to make my lunch. You hop in your car, and it won't start. Now you have to run to catch the bus. You finally make it to work a little late, but you're stressed out. But you figure you can make up what you missed by cutting lunch a little short. So you go to grab the sandwich at the deli, and as they're serving it up, they drop it. So another person makes you a new sandwich, but now you're late and you have to eat it on the run. The day finally ends and you get back on the bus and you go home. And you get a phone call, but then your phone dies. After finally getting home, you walk into your house and you see Jesus sitting on the couch. And you're a little agitated. And you ask Him, where have you been all day when things have seemed to go wrong the whole day? Jesus says, well, I was here all along. See, this morning, the death angel was at your bed, so I sent another angel to battle him, and I let you just sleep through that. Jesus goes on, I didn't let your car start this morning because there was a drunk driver on the streets that you take to go to work, and he would have hit you. That first person who made your sandwich was sick, and I didn't want you to catch what he had. And then I made your phone go dead because the person on the other end was going to lie about what you said on that call. So I didn't even let you talk to that person, so you'd be covered. wow. You were humbled and said, I had no idea that all that was going on. I am so sorry. You really are a good God. Perspective makes a difference, doesn't it? Human perspective, heavenly perspective. We're going to close with a song that's going to help us, I think, maintain that heavenly perspective before the throne of God above. That's where we're going to focus our attention.